Hello, this is astrologer Shelley Antine, and this is the podcast for the Leo full moon, and I may get the Uranus direct in Taurus on this one too, if I can. We'll see what happens. Now, I am looking at the chart of the Leo full moon 2024, which is at 12:54 p.m., so it's the afternoon in Washington, D.C., is what I set it up for. But at any rate, the full moon will still be approaching during the evening before. It won't be quite as full as it gets in the exact opposition of Moon in Leo to the Sun in Aquarius. So this is our first lunar event with the Pluto energy in Aquarius. As we all know, because we've all listened to the Pluto in Aquarius podcast, yes, we have. We know that that shifted on Saturday, the 20th of January, and it will be, you know, kind of trucking along in Aquarius for a while, but of course, it will retrograde, and it does dip back into the 29th degree of Capricorn for a little bit. But that information is all in that podcast. Please listen to it. You're going to be with this when it finally comes in forever. It doesn't dip back ever again. You will be with it until 2044, so it's awfully good to get some idea about what it's about, and that podcast will tell you a lot that you need to know. So please look for that. It's on the blog page of my website, shellyantine.com, and you can see the post that has that forecast in it. Now, the full moon that's happening on January 25th at 12:54 p.m., has passed an opposition to Pluto in Aquarius, and it is now at 5 degrees of Leo, opposing the Sun at 5 degrees of Aquarius. Because also, you know, there was this mega event of the Sun joining Pluto in Capricorn at the last degree and for the last time for centuries, because you have to wait for Pluto to get back into Capricorn again, and it takes a very, very, very long time for that to happen. So this is also a thing that when the Sun was in Aquarius, it joined Pluto. So there was a double joining in two different signs, and everybody got all excited about that. So really what to me is being said is the energy is now in authority and power, embarking into Aquarius. And what will that mean? So one of the first major experiences that happens after this is this full moon in Leo. And so that's a challenge, isn't it? And we can see that challenge playing out on stage in at least the government of the United States, but other governments too, and corporations, and everywhere that the mega power Pluto and authority Sun is, all right? And the moon, which is instinctive feelings and things, is in also the sign that is ruled by the Sun, Leo. Leo, the king or the queen, in the case of the moon, the queen would be more appropriate, right? So there is the instinctive feelings in the sign that wants to protect its own, its kingdom. It needs attention. It needs respect. And it needs to have loyalty. It's a very important position for this. And its concern is also financial, about investments, particularly with Leo. Gambling is another one that comes into Leo, fifth house activities. Some people consider, I guess, that that's entertainment, but, you know, too many people have it as, you know, an addiction. But then a lot of things we do to entertain ourselves can become addictive, right? So it's also the sign of children and romance. And this is our instinctive feelings going towards those places. But of course, Aquarius, the opposite, which has a little bit of understanding since the sun is in Leo. So there's like this, is the ruler of Leo, has some understanding of the moon's sensitivity to that sign because it is the ruler of the sign. But now this Aquarius energy is detached and observing. It knows it's part of the larger group, but it knows it's an different and individual expression of that group. So loyalty isn't exactly what you would call an Aquarius energy in manifestation. You know, Aquarius can be very involved with groups and friendships and goals for the future, but it, in terms of relationship, it is unique and detached. And so it is there because it wants to be there, not because it feels the obligation to being there. Whereas the Leo energy can feel much more obligated because it is the creator of the relationship in essence. You know, if it's a parent, you know, you've got the moon as the mother in Cancer and then the sun in Leo as the father energies. And that's, you know, probably not supposed to be said in this gender issue culture that we're in. But, you know, just take it for what it is. I mean, it's yin and yang, let's say, you know. Anyway, so the power energy, and also not far from the sun is Chiriclo in Aquarius, which has been transforming our ideas about group and identity and uniqueness and, you know, getting things really super duper unique. You know, I mean, it's tricky. You don't really know if you're a woman of my age how to address someone anymore. You know, people who identify as they, you know, I don't think I've ever called somebody a they. I don't know. Maybe you have. I don't know the rules, let's say. So we're here at a full moon where this is one of the issues that is being brought up. You know, the moon that's in Leo that wants to maintain a certain level is having big, surprising, transformational change. And it's a little disturbing for the fixed fire sign. Okay, that wants its kingdom, its hearth, its home, its children, its investments, its all this stuff. And what? They said that they would accept a cryptocurrency? Oh, no. But the thing it is, how much money? You know, this is a pivotal action for us now. Adjustment is part of what we have to do with opposition. So what else is going on in the chart, we might wonder. In fact, we should. And what else is going on happens to be a square. And who's the square to? Jupiter at 6, Taurus. Both sun and moon are approaching the square. At 5 degrees, they haven't gotten quite to the exact square. They will do that during the days that follow it. The moon first, the sun next, because the moon goes faster. And Jupiter is in Taurus, right? The sign of real estate. We're hearing reading tons of stuff about real estate now. You know, lucky you, if you had a 3% mortgage, people can't buy houses right now. But I think that the rates are starting to come down, but still, you know. I mean, it's funny to me in a way because I lived through a period of time where they were higher, believe me, than 5%. But because of the inflation of everything, that 5% or 4-point-something% is a lot for people to have to think about taking on, much more than it was at the time of like 10% inflation. You know, that was a thing. You know, maybe the 80s or 90s, something like that. But at any rate, that is also showing us that the expansion of money or possessions or real estate is caught up in that opposition between, you know, needing to have courage and to be able to create a kingdom, and this distant, cold authority that's mainly on the internet now. You know, I mean, just dealing with putting accounts that are only on an electronic. I mean, this is really an interesting thing for people who lived before it. You know, walking into a bank or driving up to a window, you know, you're still connected to human beings. You know, maybe someone will be accountable for something, one would hope. But, you know, and this is a crisis point, the Leo full moon. Now, one of the other things that's going on is we've got three planets in a Centaur in Capricorn. Venus, we'll talk about in the weekly astrology forecast, Venus is also money, and she has shifted into Capricorn, which is more conservative, let's say, but also more ambitious. And we have Mercury approaching Mars. They're conjunct right now, approaching Mercury in Capricorn. So there's a lot of arguments about how to get ahead and how to advance. And those two planets, Mercury, Mars, are squaring our nodes, our evolutionary nodes. So getting laws and getting action on how, look, we're still can't figure out how to make money in the country when the obvious, there's a very obvious way to do so, but the people who could do it don't want to do it. Okay, there's a really easy way to throw money into our treasury, and it's owed to us, actually. You know, our government is Mercury Mars arguing. That's what they're doing about structures and how to deal with stuff. They can't seem to agree on anything, right? And I think that's not uncommon in the world. I'm sure if you're listening from a different country, you're seeing a lot of the same things acting out now. At this moment of the full moon, Uranus is stationed on 19 degrees. So stationed on 19 degrees, these two planets, Mercury and Mars, are approaching the trine to Uranus in Taurus. So something may open up and something may give, but we haven't seen that yet. You know, Jupiter, also in Taurus, is sextile Saturn in Pisces at this moment in time. And it's like, you know, this Saturn here, I'll say again, Saturn is structure, Pisces is movable water, sensitivity. It doesn't really work that well, even though it's an Earth planet in a water sign, because it's a little, you know, Capricorn, Saturn, like structure that it's certain of. It puts its little hoof down as it climbs that path up the mountainside that millions and trillions of goats have taken before it and got to the top. But Pisces is waves and fluctuation and deceptions and, you know, dissolving. And so it's not the happiest place, in my opinion, for Saturn to be. The Capricorn Venus is going to come along and sort of reassure by sextile during the week. Venus at 2 is sextile already, Saturn at 5, Pisces. Okay. But, you know, we still have a lot of struggle and stress in the chart. And, you know, Neptune is still in degree orb of sextile to Pluto, and Neptune is direct, so it's an out-of-sign sextile. In other words, Capricorn was the sign, you would expect. But it's only 5 degrees separation, Neptune to Pluto, so it's still in sextile. So we could bring in some visionary inspiration and some compassion to do some change that would be helpful and might work out something better for everyone. See, that's the thing, interesting thing about Aquarius. And when you listen to the Pluto and Aquarius podcast, which I do hope you will learn a lot more about the sign of Aquarius also and what the potential of Pluto could be, both positive and, unfortunately, negative, because Pluto is power, period. You know, which way does it go? So, Uranus, retrograde in Taurus. If you are an Aquarius, you'll be happy at the direct motion when it takes place. And that's on the 27th, 2:35 a.m. Eastern Time. And it will actually go pretty far as it moves along. It gets up to 27, I believe it's 27, before it retrogrades. So you will have a first appearance of the Uranus sextile Neptune. And so we're looking at an unusual event coming in. We haven't had that. And we've had Pluto sextile Neptune for ages and ages and ages because they move so slowly, you know. But Uranus moves a little faster than them, and it gets further along, right? So, you know, you have a Uranus return to your natal position of Uranus when you're about 84, around and about 84. So people who were born during World War II, for instance, are having a Uranus return in Taurus now. So this is how long it's taken, but Neptune has moved to Pisces in the interim. And so now you get this interesting potential. The potential for Uranus to make positive change and to have compassion be part of it. Uranus in Taurus, as I've said ever since I started speaking to you about Uranus in Taurus, is unfortunately the upheavals that we're seeing geophysically and the shocks and awe, shock and awe, of the financial markets, etc., Taurus. But also, Uranus is the energy of intuition, of visionary ability, and the understanding of energy and how it influences both our bodies and everything around us. So I've spoken many times about our emphasis being upon what we want to see instead of what's wrong. Because whatever you think, Uranus rules an air sign. Air is the mental realm. Your thought goes into something and it feeds it energy. Thought directs energy. Energy follows thought. Wherever thought is held or focused, that is where energy is focused. So you're either putting your energy into the fears, which is empowering those things that you're afraid of, or you're visioning something better than this. That there was a friend of mine who was involved with some, I don't know, somebody listening probably knows the teacher or method, but he would say, you always say, how does it get any better than this? You know, people will say, oh my God, what? How does it get any better than this? And that's how we empower the future and empower our own self, our own physical energy. Because when we are trapped in fears or stress or, you know, any type of worry, anger, you know, we're affecting the Oriental medicine, the Indian Ayurvedic medicine, everything but Western medicine has recognized that the impact goes into the body. And if you hold enough negative energy in an organ, the organ or the system that the organ has control of is going to suffer. And the more you hold that negativity, the more it suffers. So Uranus going direct now. Wake up, turn on the light, and remember to keep the light on more often than dipping into the darkness. And if you add this to the visionary creative quality, as opposed to the negative fantasy, deception, and dissolving fantasy of Neptune and Pisces, there is tremendous power available to us. And if you add that to Pluto in Aquarius, there you go. So be aware of this. Be aware of this. And as Uranus moves forward, it will again retrograde this year, of course. But that will be on September 1st. And it will be retrograde until the 30th of January of 2025. And as I can see it in my ephemeris here, again, it is, as I said, September 1st that it retrogrades, and it goes down, it is at 27. Taurus when it retrogrades, and by the end of 2024, it isn't ready to go direct, but you know, again, it's not moving tremendously much, but it will be back to 23 degrees before it gets into January. And probably it will turn direct around 23, 22 at the most. All right, so that's how far back down it goes. So you need to know this why, in case you have planets or it changes the house that it's in. Because, again, everything about what I tell you is a general picture, okay? So if Washington, D.C. has Gemini rising for the full moon chart that I talked about, where the full moon falls in Washington, D.C. is the third house of communications and short journeys and neighborhoods and things like that. And the sun is in the house of foreign cultures and long-distance travel. And we're having all kinds of stuff with airplanes. Have you noticed? Well, you need those sometimes for long-distance travel, don't you? But we certainly have a lot going on with long-distance areas and foreign cultures. So, but in your chart, it falls somewhere. Everything falls somewhere else, maybe. You don't have Gemini rising at 6 degrees. You don't have a 21 Pisces midheaven. You've got something else. So you are able to know how this is all affecting you if you have your chart. You know the chart, you understand your chart, or you have someone else know it and understand it for you, like me. And so this is something the Aquarians, again, will in general be happy that their ruler is moving forward. They'll feel more energy and more ability to grow and experience new things. The house that you have that has Aquarius on the cusp, this will be the house where you have been experiencing a little bit of setback or struggle, and it will start moving forward again. And also the house where you have the transit of Uranus and Taurus will start to be more energized by the presence of this incredible planet of, you know, Zappo intuition. You want to have a sudden aha moment. That's what you have with Uranus. And you may have been processing old stuff in the retrograde and getting ahas from that, but now you can actually go out forward. It starts moving. But you also may have aspects forming from this newly direct planet, and that would be anything between 19 and 27 degrees of Taurus. Is it interacting with another planet in your chart? If so, is it a positive interaction, or is it a sign of it's going to be a big surprise to you? Better if you know about it beforehand, if you can, or get ready for this or that, whatever. So anyway, that's what you need to know, in my opinion, right now about Uranus and Taurus. Again, the outer planet aspect that it will make is the sextile to Neptune. Jupiter will come to join it, and that's always an exciting moment. It's like the brass ring moment, and I think I talked about that one in my forecast for 2024, if you listen to that, because, you know, it takes Jupiter a while to get up there, and Uranus is trucking along now, is that it's going to happen. I think it's in April. And, 21 degrees, which is the 21 degrees is the 19th and 20th of April. And if you have that aspect, wherever that is, it's going to be something really lucky. And also, if you have it in aspect to something helpful, yippee. So that's mostly what happens with this Uranus, except for the monthly transit of the moon signs, which, of course, the moon in Leo will come up and square Uranus, because it's in the fixed sign that squares Taurus, fixed Earth, right? So that'll take a day or so after the full moon. And then the other planets as they move along, all those Capricorn planets will trine it, right? Earth to Earth. So anyway, this is how the astrology looks. This is how the full moon and the Uranus direct looks. And I'm going to hop off wishing you, as I always do, the best. And I will get ready to do the weekly astrology forecast.